Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Doubt. We are covering events live right now at the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network headquarters. This is the hub for information flowing in, designed to provide you information during a disaster training exercise, which is going on right now. We have reports of power outages, cell phone and internet outages, which started on the East Coast and worked their way westward. All conventional communications are down in Radio Free Redoubt as one of a network of Black Echo radio rebroadcasting stations have commandeered this frequency to keep you informed in an emergency. We are bringing live coverage to you covering this. I will bring you some of the reports that we're receiving. Sorry about the delay there. We have radio operators across the country right now that are feeding us with reports, and I'm trying to read those as they are coming in. Multiple power outages and cell phone and internet services down. One individual is reporting that a family member who is a military police member in the National Guard in Illinois has been reassigned under NORTHCOM to help join Canadian military police units in cordoning Chicago with the civil unrest that is spreading across all U.S. cities right now. Traffic intercepted from Aries and Racy's frequencies yesterday are stating that Washington State Patrol and National Guard are reporting that OCGs, organized criminal gang elements, are moving several artillery pieces up the pass. These are commandeered military equipment that organized criminal gangs have acquired. They are declaring operational control of the greater Seattle area. In Phoenix, apparently, organized criminal gang elements with ISIS flags seen among them, what appear to be cartels and ISIS, joined forces in Phoenix, Arizona. One man has taken control of the major news network there, declaring himself to be the general and also claiming to have operational control. Right now, sheriffs and leaders all over the country where they can be found are warning citizens to be prepared, to be self-reliant, and take care of themselves for an indefinite period of time. Now, this is Radio Free Redoubt, and we just gave you a little bit of information that's coming across the airwaves through the AMRON nets during what is going on right now, a disaster training exercise called T-REX, Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2015. We are right in the middle of it, and there is a lot of intelligence and traffic that's flowing all across the country right now, with hundreds and hundreds of radio operators participating in every state and Canada across the North American continent right now in preparation for a real-world situation that could possibly require us to use unconventional communications. And that's what we're doing right now. So we are broadcasting from truly the bunker in the American Redoubt, linked into the radio station in the simulated emergency training exercise. So thank you all for joining us. Now we're going to get to some of the real news and commentary from APUPI and the major American networks. The news is next on Radio Free Redoubt. And actually, what was interesting is the scenario began about a week ago, and we were getting reports from or inquiries from listeners saying, are you guys pulling stuff out of the headlines and then writing your scenario around it, or what? How's this working? Well, the answer is no. We are actually, the scenario was written months ago. And it just so happens, like last year, many of the things in the scenario began coming out in the real news. Like, for example, we had pre-scheduled a news alert to come out on Sunday announcing that due to Puerto Rico's monetary collapse, the banks would be closed the following day because they are now insolvent. Monday morning, it really hit the news that Puerto Rico is insolvent and they're discussing restructuring and possibly closing banks and so on and so forth. Well, that's how the disaster preparedness scenario for training purposes kicked off. It just happened to correlate with or correspond with real world reports. And that happened on several stories. So if you are monitoring, you can go to amron.com, amron.com to learn more. But no, it is not live streaming. This is a grid down training exercise designed to help you become self-reliant in the event of a real world disaster. And so we don't allow cheating. You can't listen to it live streaming. You have to get your comms up, because if you listen in to an unfolding, developing disaster situation on live streaming where we're simulating grid down, we just gave you a pacifier that you will not be able to get yourself off of. We want you to get your comms up. If it's a shortwave radio with single sideband, or if it's a scanner to pick up local traffic, either way, you've got to be informed. You have to have information flowing in so you can make informed decisions for you and your family and your community and your group, your church. So you can learn more by going to amron.com. That's going on right now. And also what's going on right now is real world events. This is not a training exercise. I say again, this here is not a training exercise. Just moments ago, I got a report from an Amron operator who apparently heard from people on the ground. We're still trying to confirm this. This is unconfirmed. National Guard units have been deployed and into or the area around Lewisburg, Tennessee, for a hazardous chemical incident. They have some type of a red mist chemical, toxic hazardous chemical, with six-man chemical teams in chemical suits that are in the area. That's Lewisburg, Tennessee, breaking right now. And we will also finally, we will continue to try to confirm that. What else is going on in the news? For real world, surprise inspections catch three Planned Parenthood clinics doing illegal abortions. Isn't that amazing? Getting caught doing illegal abortions because they didn't have the proper permits. Well, let me just read this to you. And this is after, remember, in the light of all of the evidence presented to our Senate to defund Planned Parenthood, and they voted to continue funding the murder and dismemberment of babies. August 6th, four Florida Planned Parenthood clinics have been cited for violating state regulations in the wake of surprise inspections ordered last week by Governor Rick Scott. The governor ordered the inspections after the release of a series of five increasingly disturbing sting videos exposing the fact abortion giant is harvesting and selling body parts of aborted children. The videos are pretty disturbing, the governor stated Wednesday. So the right thing to do is to let the public know we are responding by doing an investigation to make sure that they are complying with the law. It's against the law to sell body parts. Yes, even aborted baby parts. Three of the Florida facilities were found performing illegal second trimester abortions, while the fourth facility was cited for not keeping proper logs related to fetal remains. Isn't this a sick industry? You know what else is sick? Listen to this. We will take immediate actions against these three facilities for performing second trimester abortions without a proper license. Now, that implies that if you have the proper license, then you can murder babies. You just have to be properly licensed. So is the state of Florida going after these guys for not having the proper license? Well, it's just clearly administrative error. We'll have it fixed by the end of next week. Really? I just made that part up. That's not in the news story. But this is what I'm thinking. Wow. We just – you know what? We deserve what we've got coming as a nation. I don't deserve it. My family doesn't deserve it. Many people that I know don't deserve what's coming to this country. But this nation, as a nation, we deserve that and more what's coming. And I don't look for it gleefully. I mourn over the loss of my country. But also, I know that there will be a next chapter. So that's what we're planning for here at Radio Free Redoubt. We are strategically planning not just to make it through the consequences that we'll face in the form of a disaster, of whatever form of economic collapse, civil unrest. This is what our government's training for. They are preparing for and counting on economic collapse, civil unrest, food shortages. They're planning for it. They're spending a lot of money on it. They're expecting it. So shouldn't we? Now, we can do things a lot more efficiently than the government. We just don't have the funding. They have a lot. They have billions of dollars to throw around. So we have to be much more careful with ours. So you got to make it count. Make your family self-reliant. Make it through a disaster, whatever the disaster might be, and then have an eye for the other side, the rebuilding. Remember, after Israel was handed over to its enemies, they went into captivity. They turned against God. They were into idolatry and sexual perversion and everything else. They lost their country. It collapsed. It came down. The enemies came and swooped them away. And then, you know what? God gave it back to the remnant. The remnant rebuilt Jerusalem. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. Now, so there will be a rebuilding. There always is. There always has been. And it's our hope that he will allow his remnant to rebuild. So we got to think about that, but you have to make it through. You're not going to be able to plan on rebuilding if you are in a concentration camp somewhere, separated from your family, never to be seen again. And that's just hypothetical. Not like that's ever really happened in history many times over and over. Ad nauseum. Curriculum is now complete for the first ever LGBT studies course at a San Francisco public high school. For children, high school. A California high school is incorporating a homosexual history course into its curriculum. And this lady is starting it. She says the class, the LGBT studies, will look at the legalization of same-sex marriages, the U.S. military's don't ask, don't tell policy, and the history of major events such as the Stonewall Riot. They're trying to bring this to the same level as civil rights between the races. They're trying to basically hijack the civil rights movement. And of course the blacks are like, what? You're not like us. We're not like you. This is about, you know, racial equality. And then the homosexual movement came in and hijacked it. And they have. She says, this is history. This is an experience that happened. How can we not teach history? That's what we do. That's what this teacher, Schlacks, told the San Francisco Chronicle. She brings up a good question. I mean, it's true. It is history. It is true that pervasive homosexuality has advanced and declared war on the Christian community in America. It is history. It's an experience that really happened. And how can we not teach history? That's what we do. Good point. Now, you teach selective history, though. Because if you want to teach history, how about this? The towns of Sodom and Gomorrah were utterly destroyed because of its pervasive evil and sexual deviancy, especially homosexuality, and it brought the judgment of God on them. That is history. That is an experience that happened. Indeed, how can we not teach history? Where homosexuality and other sexual deviancy becomes state-sanctioned, there is a hostile and even a violent event level that it takes toward God's people. Take the Nazi regime, for example, just one of many examples, with the higher echelons, all the individuals at the highest echelons being saturated with homosexual pedophiles, all of it. The book titled The Pink Swastika is just one of the works that come to mind documenting the militant violence of homosexual leaders in government. When it becomes state-sanctioned, what they did to boys, this is history. This is an experience that happened. Indeed, how can we not teach history? Or as it pertains to the Greek Empire or the Roman Empire. But let's paint it in a light for a struggle for equality to make the world a better place. But it never does become a better place. Ever. Ever. So, and this mother says, as a mother of a gay child, I'm very sensitive to the issue of our LGBT youth, told the Chronicle. The course offers a deeper understanding. It separates fact from fiction. Does it? It never does. When you try to promote evil or you try to promote, sexual deviancy, it never does separate fact from fiction. It melds the two together and confuses people. That's why they always say these children are confused. But it's funny. As the mother of a gay child, I'm very sensitive to the issue. She's speaking like, I mean, this is what somebody, my child has autism. As a mother of an autistic child, I'm very sensitive to these issues. It's a deficiency. Like it's somebody that needs special attention. Okay, let's move on. I'm tired of talking about that. Let's talk about, from the Thanks Obama category and all the other gun-grabbing liberals. Actually, there's a story here that I happen to be at in the American Redoubt. This event took place 2 days ago. When I was like full on, I lost 2 days prepping for T-Rex. There's so many things I didn't get done and get to do. But you know what? This was more important because it wasn't a training exercise. There was an event, a spontaneous event, where the federal government through the VA was threatening a veteran with the loss of his firearms. They're saying that they are going to take his firearms and threatening that he can't have them anymore. So what happened was Representative Heather Scott, this is in her district, Representative Matt Shea from Washington and Sheriff Daryl Wheeler, along with about 100 patriots with just hours of advance notice, converged on Priest River, Idaho, to stand not just beside, but to stand in front of, to block, to barricade, to stand and intervene. Now, I want you to take a note of the individuals that I just mentioned. Representative Heather Scott, that's her district. Representative Matt Shea from Washington and Sheriff Daryl Wheeler. Now, if you are living in Idaho or Eastern Washington, like Representative Matt Shea, this isn't an Idaho thing. This is an American thing. I want you to contact your patriot conservative, so as they claim, representative or senator, even the sheriff, and ask them, why weren't you there? First of all, did you know about this? Secondly, if you knew about this, why weren't you there? Why were the Idaho so-called patriot representatives and senators not standing alongside Representative Heather Scott? Why was there not a show of unity? Where were you? Especially when you got a Republican in Idaho that's, how do I say this? This angers me. As those of you who've been listening for a long time know. Got a Republican, I'm conservative, he appeals and says all the right things to whatever crowd he happens to be standing in front of. He says, look how conservative I am. I helped with the funding for this new VA hospital. Look what I did. And there's the picture of him with his big old grin, shaking hands with the whoever it was, I don't know, the director of the local VA office that he helped pass legislation for to get passed. So you're all about veterans. I stand for veterans, he says. You stood for passing funding to get a building put up. Do you really stand for veterans when a veteran is being threatened to have his firearms taken away from him? Where were you? That's what I want to know. And I want all of you to ask your, if you're in the area, to ask your representative, why were you not there if you knew about this? We'll be back in a minute. I'm going to cover this story. I'm going to open it all up, and we'll be back in a minute. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
When government gets too big and too expensive, it drives the economy underground. Hello, everyone. This is Fox 519 with Radio Free Readout, and this is your Eye on the Economy Minute. Have you been following along with T-Rex? Well, make sure you keep an eye on the island nation of Puerto Rico. Why do you ask? Because they missed a debt payment of more than $50 million plus dollars, and they have no more money to make future payments. Right now, Puerto Rico is $72 billion in debt, and there is no relief in sight. Why is this happening? Because they have given big business and the wealthy tax breaks in the past, and those have expired, and now the money and the jobs are moving to other nations, which is driving the employment rate to 12.2% and rising daily. This just goes to show you when crony capitalism fails, socialism takes over and will kill a country from the inside out. Stay tuned this week on Radio Free Readout as I bring you the breakdown on Puerto Rico's economy and some interesting news from China. This has been your Eye on the Economy Minute with Fox 519.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Radio Free Readout.
We are back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the safe haven and refuge where God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots are strategically relocating to, preparing for the days and times ahead, because they know that where they are is occupied territory. And where it seems relatively peaceful now, they know that that thin veneer of humanity can come stripping off at any moment. And tensions are high in our country. This administration and the, I hate to even call them liberal left, they are complicit in the division that's taking place in our country. It's very strategic on their part. So guess what, patriots? We have to be strategic. All right. And sometimes we have to be tactical. I don't mean running around with guns and camouflage tactical. I mean tactical as in we have to sometimes get boots on the ground and we have to stand in the face of the adversary. Now, I hate, as a veteran myself, I hate to look at the VA as, you know, with this adversarial relationship. I know that there's a lot of good guys in the VA that are veterans themselves that really do a lot of stuff to help the veterans navigate through this labyrinth of confusing bureaucratic red tape and paperwork to make sure that these guys, and some of them actually, they go to great lengths to make sure veterans are taken care of. Sometimes the veterans on the local level, they get stuck dealing with dumb decisions made at the bureaucratic higher levels. So this is what happened. There was a veteran who had a stroke about a year ago who lives in Priest River, Idaho. Now, he's recovering from this stroke. He has full control of all of his mental faculties. He struggles physically. He walks with a cane. He's still partially paralyzed on one side. He was left-handed. Now he has to write with his right hand. But he gets the job done, and he balances his checkbook. He takes care of all of – he's got a better credit rating than probably the VA rep that was sitting there assessing his case. He applied for more money. Now, this is what happened. The VA, who was trying to help him, in order for this veteran to qualify for more money, they had to put him in a incompetency category. Because you have to be incapable of taking care of your own affairs, either mentally or physically. So if you need help getting dressed, taking a bath, going to the bathroom, that kind of stuff, then you could qualify. So this is the angle that they were going at. And then the VA from the Salt Lake City office sends a letter to him. And I have the exact wording. I saw it. Representative Heather Scott showed me the letter. And so I have the exact wording, and I'll read that to you in just a moment. But there was a victory for patriots. There was a victory for freedom there that took place. Representative Heather Scott, first, everybody met up at a church, and then there was a walk about a quarter of a mile to the veteran's house. The news was there, CREM 2, the Q6, the AP, several of the newspapers. It was pretty well covered. Of course, the AP did just, you know, type of job that you would expect them to do, at least this particular female journalist. That she's done some pretty good handiwork trying to marginalize and demonize Christian patriot, especially candidates in the past. Heather Scott very clearly announced this vet is not a threat, which became the mantra of the whole event. Representative Matt Shea, he was streaming live at various times, and he looked right in the camera and says, "We have had enough. Obama," he spoke directly to Obama, "we've had enough. We've had enough of bureaucratic terrorism, enough of federal government overreach. We have had enough of veterans being targeted who served our country." He looked right in the camera and said, "Obama, we're not going to allow this." All right, now that goes all the way, trickles down to the Salt Lake City office of the VA. "We're not going to tolerate this." Sheriff Darrell Wheeler showed up, and the sheriff deputies showed up simultaneously with the Priest River Police Department, and he got up and he basically said, "This veteran will not be disarmed here today. We're going to make sure that there's due process, that there is recourse, that there is due process." I'm the word I'm looking for is escaping me, but due process covers it. So the Associated Press, now they ended up backing down. Ultimately, it was all resolved. The VA rep showed up, and the federal level VA rep that was scheduled to show up never showed. He got wind of what was going on, and he had words with Heather Scott, and it was less than amicable, let's put it that way. I spoke with her, and I was actually going to have her interviewed today. I was going to have her on, and she had a funeral that she had totally forgotten about, and so she was already obligated to that, and I understand that's, you know, that's serious stuff. So she was not able to join us today. But he really – the federal level VA guy – was basically ripping into her, saying that we're completely blowing this out of proportion. We're making it look like, you know, the VA's bad. And really just blowing this whole thing out of proportion. Well, there was no embellishment going on here. Now, this Associated Press writer writes, "A group of residents in North Idaho lined up outside." Now, this is the headline. "Gun confiscation fears lead to protest in Northern Idaho." Now, if you notice a common thread here is the word fear. Anytime those of us with conservative American values oppose anything that strips liberty, robs us of our freedoms, or increases our taxes, or does anything, any un-American agenda that we oppose. Their response is that fears led to whatever action that we take. So in this case, gun confiscation fears lead to protest. If you'll remember, they're trying very hard in down in American Falls in Idaho, southern Idaho. They're trying to bring in an enclave of about 2,000 Muslims who will then be able to bring their family members in and create this enclave. This is a strategic thing that's happening. We've covered this at length. But when conservative patriots show up and say, you're not going to just plant a Muslim community right in the middle of our red conservative voting. And of course, they're doing this in red conservative voting districts strategically. This administration is placing Islamic enclaves. So when the people stand up against it, they say fears of Islam taking over led to a protest. Fears of homosexuals in the schools led to this fight over this curriculum. Fears over. So we're basically fearful, which equates to unreasonable. Now, if you understand the new speak of the communist liberal left, there's certain keywords to watch out for that just make me bristle. The other one is reasonable. Now, it's our fears that lead to whatever we're doing. But theirs is always reasonable gun measures opposed by those with fears that their guns will be taken away, whatever it is, right? So we're the ones have fear, which is unreasonable, and they're the ones that are trying to advance a cause that is reasonable. The word reasonable assigned to them, and fear is assigned to us. So recognize that stuff when you see it. It's a lie, and it's very craftily and deliberately done that way because it has a very subtle but effective impact on the viewer, listener, reader. Okay. Idaho Republican State Representative Heather Scott of Blanchard said the Veterans Affairs Office has sent a letter to John Arnold of Priest River warning him that he cannot possess or purchase firearms. It's not and later on, the VA rep confirms this. So instead of saying this veteran received a letter from the Veterans Affairs Office stating such and such, it's Heather Scott said that he received a letter. So it leaves it out there in – it's not confirmed. It's not confirmed. So I'm tired right now. I can't think of my words, my words. My vocabulary just shrunk by about 50% over this T-Rex exercise. Oh, man. But you get the point. So the protest spearheaded by Scott attracted roughly 100 people. Among them were Bonner County Sheriff Darrell Wheeler, who promised to stand guard against any federal attempts to remove Arnold's guns. Wow, I can't believe she wrote that. And I'm surprised she didn't write, he stood there to make sure nobody got out of hand. Okay, so, and Republican Washington State Representative Matthew Shea of Spokane Valley, who described the event as a defiance against tyranny. Good, okay. Now, this is cool. The sheriff says, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, and uphold the laws of Idaho. Wheeler said, this seemed appropriate to show my support. I was going to make sure Arnold's rights weren't going to be breached. Good. That is the highest law enforcement in the land, the county sheriff. And to have him on board, if you got a constitutional sheriff, you are blessed. You may not even realize how blessed you are. That's going to come in real handy one day, as it did in this case. So she continues writing, during Thursday's demonstration, the group at times broke out in song to sing God Bless America. That was great. almost brought tears to my eyes. And pray while waving both the American flag and the Don't Tread on Me flag. So she forgot to mention the Appeal to Heaven flag, which was there, which probably just confused her because she probably didn't even know what that was. All right. Maybe she did, but she chose to ignore it. And there were also large crosses, about 6 feet tall, held by no less than 3 ordained ministers who were also there. Prayer did break out at times, along with the reading of the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights. She didn't mention that part. Specifically, the Fourth Amendment, which reads this: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. She goes on to describe the area as a region known for its strong Tea Party roots and gun rights activism. Not just gun rights activism, my little AP journalist. How about all rights? How about constitutional rights? How about freedom and self-reliance and God-honoring lifestyles? How about that? Well, we don't want to talk about that part. But then the yellow journalism comes in. This is where her training comes in, to discredit the advocates of freedom and the advocates leading the charge. Scott, what does she do? She gives some background information on who Heather Scott is. Not Heather Scott, the one who's been fighting for freedom in the Idaho legislature. No, Scott was one of the key lawmakers during this year's legislature who helped sink legislation that would have put Idaho in compliance with federal child support laws. Oh, she hates children. Doing so put Idaho at threat of losing millions of federal dollars. In other words, she wanted us to not be dependent on the federal government for their money because strings are attached. And required the Idaho legislature to meet for a special session. So because of Heather Scott voting against this, for hating children and voting against this thing, which actually would have submitted Idaho law to higher law, including Sharia. Even though they say that's not the case, they're liars. And we've talked about that. So basically, the reason why Heather Scott supported this, because she hates children, and she also, in the process, forced a special session. She didn't do it. Everybody was opposed to this until all the arm twisting started taking place, and they finally squeezed enough votes to get it passed. Anyway, moving on. The Veteran Affairs spokesman, Brett Bowers, confirmed a letter that had been sent to Arnold from the VA Benefits Office in Salt Lake City. He said that the VA policy prohibits discussing individual health records without consent, but he did add that the agency doesn't have the authority to confiscate weapons. He says, "We don't send officers to confiscate weapons. We are about providing health care to veterans." So, did the Patriots overreact? Let me read the exact wording in this letter that this veteran received. And you tell me if you think that the Patriots, that Representatives Heather Scott and Matt Shea and the sheriff and 100 other Patriots who were able to make it there in time, if they overreacted. This is what it says. "In our earlier letter, we told you that we were reviewing evidence on your ability to handle your financial affairs. We finished the review and decided you are not competent for VA purposes. As we advised you previously, the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act prohibits you from purchasing, possessing, receiving, or transporting firearms or ammunition based on our determination that you are incompetent to handle your VA funds. You may be fined or imprisoned." Now, the VA scheduled an appointment after he received this letter. "We will be there at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. Exactly when he was going to show up. After he receives a letter saying that he can't have, possess, transport, firearms, or ammunition, and he could be fined or imprisoned. So Representative Heather Scott calls the federal level VA rep, and he goes off on her saying that she's overreacting and blowing this whole thing out of proportion. She asks about the guns, and he says, well, I would advise that he doesn't have one on his hip or anywhere, and you need to probably put them away. So hide the guns, right? Implying that if the VA sees it, he could be reported. He could have his guns taken away. Why would he have to hide them if they don't take guns? And what's this threatening letter? Threatening veterans. Threats and intimidation. We won't stand for it. I'll be right back.
Wonder how we got to this point in America when we can hardly recognize it anymore? I'll tell you how. We've handed the children over to a communist agenda, and shame on you, the generation before mine and the one before that, for your apathy. Don't believe it's an agenda? Vladimir Lenin, the patriarch of Soviet communism, said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Well, we're seeing the fruit that those seeds have turned into. We're watching the communist agenda unfold in our society and in our public schools and in our institutions of higher indoctrination. Someone a little smarter introduced this concept first, however. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? Are they godly seeds or the atheistic, poisonous seeds Lenin spoke of? Bob Holliday said it best by posing this rhetorical question. What Jewish family in the Bible would have sent their kids off to Rome to be educated? Well, that's exactly what some of you are doing. Just think it over. There are alternatives, you know. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it. That's what Teotihuacan stands for. The end of the world as we know it. We are in the middle of the Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise of 2015. Now, Teotihuacan stands for the end of the world as we know it. But hold on now. We're not deceiving ourselves thinking this is really the end of the world. There will not be a Mad Max Book of Eli type of world. The closest thing that we've ever seen to that in modern era is probably Somalia or a no man's land. But the let's see here. We, like I said at the beginning of the show, there will be a rebuilding. Okay. It would be very disruptive. And we saw what type of country we had during the Great Depression, how difficult that was on people. Yes, crime did go up and people had it very difficult. But you know what? We had 80% of the population in the United States lived in rural environments. They were self-reliant. They had everybody had a little garden and a couple chickens. And about 20% of the population lived in the cities, relying on supplies from the outside. Today, we have the exact opposite. Approximately 80% of our population in our country lives in urban or suburban areas completely non-self-reliant, while only 20% of our population lives in what could be described as rural communities. And even in the rural communities, we Americans have become decreasingly self-reliant. Now, add to that how far as a culture we've moved from God. So we don't have the morality that we once enjoyed in this country, enjoyed the benefits of having a moral country by majority. We've got racial divide. We have economic class divide. We have ideological division. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we're pushing out the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord altogether. And we are also, we're seeing a corresponding loss of liberty as well. And those who still hold to morals are the extremists. Well, we don't know what the future holds. Now, we know as Christians, we win in the end and blah, 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 blah. Somebody asked me, so we're going to talk about preparedness in this segment. And you know what? I'm going to open this up to discussion. If you want to call in, go ahead. 1-877-999-7684. 1-877. Did I say 1-800? I hope not. 1-877-999-7684 is the number in case you want to chime in. Or you can just sit here and listen. Sit there and listen. Mrs. Schmidt and I went out to dinner with a couple that were in from out of town, and we had a great time with them. It was good seeing them. It was poor timing, but it was still a blessing. And they asked, you know, what we've thought about, you know, the things with the way things are going in our country. But then preparing, how does a Christian prepare? Is it right? Are we, you know, can you get carried away? But we're thinking, you know, the way things are going, we should do something, shouldn't we? And they are among many American Christians who are waking up to what's going on, the severity of it, and starting to think about the consequence. What would we do? What would we do if the power went out and the internet went out, if the flow of food supply stopped or was disrupted for any length of time? What would that look like? What would that do to the inner cities? What type of civil unrest? And they start, the logical follow through with this is it would be challenging, to say the least, to put it very mildly. How could we be? Is that the right thing to do? So I reminded them of several cases in the Bible where Joseph, for example, he was warned by God. Look, these are the signs of what's going to come. Now, God gave him the wisdom to prepare. God didn't say, you know, exactly what to store up and when. He said there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of drought and famine. And Joseph decided we need to store up. Now, he didn't just hear this vision from God or see this vision, have this dream and say, oh, that was a nice story, and just go on about his business. He was responsible by responding when you are given advance warning of danger. Well, the wise prepare, they take refuge. The fools just keep going and they suffer for it. Joseph was very wise. He chose to store up during the 7 years of plenty so that they can make it through the 7 years of nothingness. And they came out the other side, and the nation of Israel was saved through that. Mary and Joseph fled. They bugged out because they were warned, danger is coming. Get out of here, right? Abraham went to get Lot, and they were warned, danger is coming. Get out. And there's plenty of other examples. Noah prepared. He prepared. He was given advance warning. Something bad is coming. And the wise, reasonable thing to do is to make preparations. To be self-reliant so your family can make it through this storm, because there will be a rebuilding on the other side. There's all the biblical examples show there is an afterward. There is a next step, next chapter. There is a rebuilding. So that's what we're planning for. Now, what I told them is you need to make sure that you balance this, because there's a lot of preppers, a lot of Christians have become full-blown preppers, and they are consumed by it. They stopped living. They're doing nothing to advance the gospel. It is completely a self-preservation mode that they're in, and it is completely all about them, and it owns them. It's in every fiber of their being, and they're fearful. They're continuously wringing their hands, wondering if they got enough antibiotics, if they got enough gas masks, if they got enough ammo, if they got – no, you should have those things. You should have a means of self-defense. You should look at, you know, possible scenarios with the health crisis. You should be self-reliant in those areas. But don't stop living. Don't let it consume you. And you become ineffective in every other area of your life. All that can be gone. And you know what scares me is the thought of getting consumed with something like that and then having to leave it all behind. And all that stuff can be burned up. It can be eaten by moths. It can corrode. It can be stolen, or you could have to run for your life in a really bad situation and leave it behind. But so the problem is, when Christians put all of their hope and trust and faith in that, you're setting yourself to get that taken away, taken off the table, if that makes sense. So anyway, we've got, talking about preparedness, we've got an expert on the line who's a great inspiration of mine. He's the one that actually inspired Radio Free Redoubt. We're joined by James Wesley Rawl. Sir, it is so good to have you on Radio Free Redoubt. Thanks for joining us. Hello. I think we lost him. Okay, we lost him. My producer, are you there? Okay, let's continue on. I don't know what happened to him. It dropped. It blinged. Actually, another, you know, if you want to get off to a good start, the book by James Wesley Rawl, since he just popped up on my screen from my producer saying that he's on the air, and he's not there. But he wrote a book called Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. Hold on. Excuse me. Let me turn that radio down. I'm actually in the brainstem. I'm in the brainstem of the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. So I got surrounded by radios and all kinds of stuff going on. But he wrote a book called Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. And that kind of set me on my journey to following survivalblog.com. And then he wrote an article about the American Redoubt strategically relocating U.S. citizens, American God-fearing patriots to a region. And the American Redoubt is the most viable geographic place with all the natural resources and everything that we have. But let me get back to this getting consumed with self-reliance, preparedness. Now, some people may be called to it as a ministry. If you work at a food bank, if you work at the Red Cross, if you work at the Salvation Army, and you work specifically in disaster and disaster preparedness, and that's your calling, that's one thing. But if that is your entire focus as a Christian patriot, and you start getting out of balance, do a gut check. But I do want you guys to think about what you would do in the event of Mr. Producer, Sir Patrick, could you see if we can get James back on the line? I know we just got a couple minutes, but anyway, we'll follow up. And that's somebody we need to interview soon. I feel bad. We haven't done an interview with him in a long time. If the lights went out, Are you self-reliant? I don't mean 72 hours. We're talking experts, financial economic experts that have studied economic collapse scenarios in other countries, like what's going on in Venezuela right now, in Greece right now, what's Puerto Rico is right on the edge of, and what has happened in the past 100 years, it's not good. And it's a reality for people. This isn't fear-mongering. If you want to learn more, you can go to amron.com, A-M-R-R-O-N.com. We mostly focus on disaster communications. That's kind of our area that we ended up kind of gravitating toward. And so that's where we place the most emphasis on. You can go to T-Rex headline news, and you can see the news, the last updates that went all the way up to the moment when the lights went out, which happened to be on the 6th at 1000 Zulu hours. We use Zulu time. Now, the only way you can listen in is on the Amron nets, on shortwave radio or the scanner. And we are at AMCON 1 right now. This is the highest level of danger as far as conventional communications being disrupted, as far as the communications in general, forcing us to use a signals operating instructions, which is a guide so we all know when to meet up, on what frequency, and what mode, what to listen for, and what to say. It's all over there. But we do need to train. It's fun. It's an adventure. It's lots of folks, they're in the dark right now, and their only source of information are the Amron nets. And that's flowing. Those are scheduled to kick up a little bit later on. So they're putting their stuff to the test. They've flipped the switch off in their home. They are actually eating food that they've stored up, long-term food storage. They're practicing with their equipment. They're using the propane Coleman stove to cook their meals. They're kind of putting their stuff to the test, firing up the generator. And there's a promo video for T-Rex you can watch. It gives you a little more insight as far as how you can participate, either as a group, as a family, or as an individual. And I'm going to be getting back to that here in just a minute, because we are at the end of our time. And go to amron.com to learn more. Go to radiofreeredoubt.com. Tomorrow we're going to go over a little bit of a after-action review of T-Rex 2015 tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at radiofreeredoubt.com. God bless and have a great week.